May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 671. How shall I come to thee, O God, who holy art, and cannot evil see, but with a loathing heart? I am defiled throughout by sin, and by my very birth unclean. Hymn 671.
from the holy word of God. Let us turn to read in the Gospel of Matthew, reading part of chapter 5. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, and we will read from verse 17. Matthew chapter 5, from verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, that is vain fellow, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than thee, cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy and sacred word. And may he help us now to pray. O thou most holy, almighty, eternal God, help us, Lord, now to fall before thee. For we are sinners, and are not worthy to come unto thee of our own selves. But Lord, we come pleading the name and the sin-atoning blood of Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son, the Saviour of sinners. Lord, may we this night be found accepted in him, the beloved one, beloved of thee, the Father, beloved of sinners, saved by grace. Oh Lord, do come, and may we know thy presence with us this night in the power of thy Spirit. Lord, thou knowest how we have come. Thou knowest our hearts. Thou knowest us through and through. Lord, if there is any hardness in our hearts, we pray thou wilt break it. Lord, if any here tonight have come with a broken heart, we pray thou wilt heal it. Lord, we pray for thy blessing upon thy holy word, that this night it does not return unto thee void. Oh, we do pray, Lord, thou wilt cause it to accomplish that which thou doth please, and to prosper it in the thing to which thou doth send it. Lord, we pray that it'll be thy word in thy power to thy people here this night. Lord, thou knowest all that has taken place in our lives this day. Lord, the busy scenes of life, the duties, the cares. Lord, the many things that we've had to put hands and minds to. And there's so much to hide thee from our sight. Lord, there's so much to stir up ungodliness and uncleanness from within our hearts, manifest in our thoughts, our words and our deeds. We pray, Lord, for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Lord, we do pray that now, separated from those busy scenes, we by thy Spirit, may be able to look into thy word. Lord, that we, by thy Spirit, may be able to hear thy voice. Lord, thy word to enter into our hearts and be for the prosperity of our souls. Lord, without thee we can do nothing, whether speaking or hearing. So, Lord, do come, and to thy name shall be all the honour and all the glory. We pray, Lord, for those unable to be here tonight for the various reasons. Lord, those who are away on their holiday, watch over them, Lord, and keep them safe in thy watchful care and keeping. Lord, may the time away be profitable to them, not only in body, but also in spirit. And Lord, return each one safely here at the appointed time. Be with those that are detained by duty and responsibility. Lord, in business, in their occupation. Lord, they're watching over the care of the children. Oh Lord, we do pray thou wilt help each one in their daily responsibilities, and help them, Lord, to do it as if unto thee. Lord, be with any that are sick or detained through weakness and older age. Lord, we pray for thee to draw near, and Lord, to relieve them and all that tries them. Hear and answer their prayers, and prayers that are put up on their behalf. Lord, we pray for those who have recently been married. Oh Lord, watch over them whilst they are away. And Lord, we commend them to thee. Lord, that thy great blessing and the riches of thy grace shall attend them all their days in their life together. We pray, Lord, for the young people. Be with those who hope to be married. Lord, to go before them in all that has to be done and arranged regarding that day. But may, when that day comes, in and of thy will, it'll be a day, Lord, that thou hast made for them. Lord, a day in which they can rejoice in and be glad. So, Lord, we ask of thee thy great goodness in these things. Be with all the young people and the children. Lord, they are growing up in wicked, evil days. Lord, we wonder what additional abomination shall be permitted to come in public life. Oh, we pray thou wilt shield them from all that evil. Lord, lead them by thy Spirit into the knowledge of the truth. The truth that they are sinners. The truth to be found in Christ Jesus and his sacrifice for sin. Give them the discerning spirit between what is right and what is wrong. And keep them, Lord, fast in the way of thy truth. Provide for them, Lord, and those at this time who await examination results. Oh, Lord, what a watershed that can bring in their lives when the choices have to be made of what to do and where to go. Lord, hear their prayers and the prayers of loving parents and families and friends for them, and lead and guide in the right way, a way that in due time shall lead to that city of thy habitation, a city made without hands eternal in the heavens. So, Lord, we commend them to thee. Lord, be with each of us in our varied responsibilities and pathways. Lord, keep us ever looking unto Jesus. Strengthen us in the times of temptation. Let us not bring dishonor and disgrace upon thy name, upon thy word, upon thy people, upon thy causes of truth. Lord, do ever help us to walk humbly before thee, seeking only that which is right in thy sight. We ask, Lord, thy blessing upon all thy people here under the preaching of the gospel. Lord, may it oftentimes be in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Oh, Lord, we pray for the church. Lord, to establish them and strengthen them. Unite them through the power of thy Spirit that reveals Christ in them, the hope of glory. And so, Lord, keep them steadfast in the ways of truth and worship. Lord, help the deacons in all their responsibilities. Lord, give them all needed wisdom and all needed grace in every matter. And in the exercises of the church, Lord, do hear their prayers and grant the supply of their every need. Lord, from the congregation, do increase the church. Lord, do exercise one and another through thy redeeming love unto them, to testify of the mercy they have found. O Lord, remove all the fears, loose the stammering tongue, and may one and another be made willing in the day of thy power, to thine honour and to thy glory. Lord, we pray thou wilt increase the congregation. Lord, in this village of Swavesey, Lord, are there not many souls whom thou wouldst deign to save? Lord, pour out thy Spirit from on high. Oh, and convince them of sin. Make them a seeking soul. Lord, a soul that longs to know a good hope of eternal life. And could it be thy will direct them here, Lord, to the sound of the gospel. And there may they be found by thee, having been brought and led by thee into the knowledge of thy truth, led to Jesus' blood. Lord, not only here but elsewhere throughout our nation and throughout the world. Oh Lord, we mourn over the sin that not doth only doth so easily beset us, but now is also so manifest openly in our land. Lord, wherever we look, there's the promotion of abominable practices, and even in our government, the intent to do yet even more. O Lord, wilt thou not thwart their desires? Lord, hear our prayers, our urgent prayers, that thou wilt stem the tide of this evil. Lord, the inroads it makes from church down to school, in all aspects of life. O Lord, do appear for our help. Lord, we pray for our government that thou wilt give them wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Lord, draw them to thy word for divine counsel, and make them bold and strong in that which is right. Lord, do give them, we pray, the wisdom in all negotiations that are yet to take place, and deliver them what seems to be division and confusion of face. Lord, do send out more labourers into the gospel harvest. Lord, do appoint and send forth those where the exercise is already begun to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. O Lord, may this be a day yet of thine appearing, a day of thy power, and the putting down of the days of evil. We thank thee, Lord, for many mercies. Lord, we come this night in freedom, without let or hindrance to worship. Oh, do maintain, Lord, these privileges to us. We also, Lord, have a harvest. Lord, there's been the hindrances through the wet weather, but now again it is being gathered in. We pray, Lord, for in thy mercy, to give suitable weather for a completeness in the gathering in of the harvest, that there will be a sufficiency for our needs for another year. And to thee be all our praise, all our thanksgiving, all the honour and all the glory, for we are not worthy of these thy great mercies. So, Lord, hear us, we pray, in heaven, thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, do forgive. Lord, make the hymns that have been chosen prayers and praises from our hearts. And O Lord, may thy word of truth be precious to our souls. We ask it in the name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 1144. We'll sing the first two verses and verse 5. Saviour, visit thy plantation. Grant us, Lord, a gracious rain. all will come to desolation unless thou return again. Keep no longer at a distance. Shine upon us from on high, lest for want of thine assistance every plant should droop and die. Hymn 1144, verses 1, 2 and 5.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon our Lord to help us, that he may speak through his own word to each one of our hearts. And ask your prayerful attention to the chapter we read, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 48. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Dear friends, what a solemn, searching command this is of God himself. In the mouth of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. A command to his people. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. There can be no higher standard. And dear friends, it's the standard that is demanded to possess eternal life. None of us here tonight, I'm sure, can claim to be perfect. We find that this goes beyond practical outward obedience to the law. The law is the law of God, the righteous law of God. And the law was given to be obeyed. And there were many of the sons of Jacob who sought to obey it in its fullness. And in the outward form of obedience to the law, the practical aspect of it, there was none that were more blameless than the Pharisees. But as we read, Jesus said, except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, he shall in no wise, in no case, enter the kingdom of heaven. When we look at the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, of which this chapter is the beginning, it is full of practical godliness. A practical godliness that is beyond just outward obedience of the law. Yes, we're to endeavour to obey the law. Those commandments which were written in stone and put within the Ark of the Covenant. Jesus said he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. The law still has a place, because sin is transgression of the law. And through the law, and we are found sinners. Yet our sin is not just measured by our practical failings. Again and again the Lord Jesus spoke here. Ye have heard it said of old time. And he quoted the law. Where we began to read in verse 17. He goes on to speak that ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Now that was the word of God, written in tables of stone and given unto Moses. Thou shalt not kill. And there are many dear friends upon this earth and throughout their lives have not killed. And yet have they been sinless in the sight of God? Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. In other words, he that is angry with his brother without a cause is as a murderer. Oh, how solemn and searching these words of Jesus are. We can convince ourselves outwardly that we are righteous like the Pharisees did, and yet still be most guilty before a holy God. Under the law, the people were commanded. Under the Jewish dispensation, to offer gifts. The sacrifices, the freewill offerings, the thanksgiving offerings, and so forth. Seeking their reconciliation with their God. Jesus says, if you're not reconciled with your brother upon this earth, how can you be reconciled with God? Or if you cannot be reconciled with one who you see, how can you be reconciled with one who you do not see? And that was put in the terms of love. Dear friends, I'm sure our desire is to be reconciled with God. And perhaps we do pray for it. But if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear. There's no need to go through all these examples which Jesus has laid before us here in his word. But he speaks of adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery, another of those Ten Commandments. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. The Lord does not look on the outward appearance, where we may be upright, morally good, perfect. He looks upon the heart. And how different, dear friends, that is from what appears to be in our own sight. Why, he says it's better to cast away that which causes us to sin than to be cast into hell through the continuation of sin. He speaks of our conversation, not to swear at all, not to make oaths, things that we perhaps cannot fulfill when we swear by one thing greater than ourselves. That comes of sin. Let our conversation be yea and nay. And how we're to behave ourselves when others may rise matters against us and bring evil against us. Are we to retaliate? Are we to have our own back? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? The Lord says no. But rather submit to those things. Take away your coat, take away your cloak. Let them have whatever you've got. Now, but earthly things. Why, but to love our enemies, to bless them that curse you. Dear friends, this is not of our nature, is it? But at the end of all this, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. What the Lord is declaring is that our perfection is not in our outward deeds alone. It's in the Spirit within us, how we do those things, and that which governs our words and our ways. Perfection is of the Spirit, and not of the outward things of the flesh. If your Bible has got a margin, there's perhaps a few references to this verse 48. The Lord said unto Abraham, walk before God, walk before me, and be thou perfect. That was after poor Abraham had been tempted to take Hagar and raise up a child of her because Sarah was barren. That wasn't of faith, was it? That was of his own spirit and that of Sarah. But the Lord came again, walk before me and be thou perfect. The children of Israel, when they were on the borders of the promised land, the Lord instructed them through Moses in comparison to the evils of those Canaanites and the Hivites and all those that lived in the land. But thou shalt be perfect with thy God, the standard. I believe there's only one of Adam's race who is described as perfect, and that was Job. We read that Job was perfect and upright, who feared God and eschewed evil, hated evil, kept himself from it. And the Lord permitted him to be sorely tempted through Satan's accusations, that it was only because of the goodness and favour of God's good hand upon Job that he was as he was. The Lord said, he's in thy hands, but save his life. And Satan was permitted to take away all that he had. What a trial. A trial of Job's faith. When Job was sorely tried in the exercise of his faith, he said not. Neither did he charge God foolishly. He says, the Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when he lost his health and strength the second time Satan came, he said to his wife, shall we not receive of the Lord's hand good and evil? In all this, Job sinned. Oh, what faith Job had at that time in his God. And dear friends, it's through faith, walking by faith, and by faith alone in God, that we can be perfect. For that which is not of faith is sin, is sin. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now this directs us, doesn't it, to faith in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Saviour of sinners. We've all sinned. We've all come short of this standard. Great is our iniquity. Why, we read how the Lord looked down from heaven. It's one of the Psalms 14, isn't it? The Lord looked down from heaven to behold all the children of men, that's you and me, throughout all the ages. And what did he see? He says, they've all sinned. They've all turned aside. They've all become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. What about this law? This law of God. What about these outward obediences? Dear friends, not one of them, where we do obey the law, can blot out one of our transgressions. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Hebrews, says, for the law can make nothing perfect. But the bringing in of a better hope did. What a sweet word that is. You may have heard me say before, when we make something, perhaps constructing something from wood or fabric or whatever it is, to get the item right, we use a measure, a tape measure or a ruler. And we measure for the right size, and if we find that the size is wrong according to the pattern, then that ruler, that measure, cannot put anything right, can it? It only can give an indication of what is wrong. It's something else that has to put the matter right. Oh, we thank God that he has made a way whereby all our transgressions, our shortcomings, our failings can be put right through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a work has been fulfilled upon this earth through the gift of his only begotten Son. We read how Christ Jesus came. Well, he was appointed before the foundation of the world. All was in, all was determined, all was in the hand of the almighty hand of God. That he should send his only begotten Son to destroy the power of sin brought in through the evil one, the devil. That which has affected humankind right from the very beginning. Oh, the subtleties of evil, the plagues of sin, the curse that it hath brought upon this earth, the hardness of heart that is in us who are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, a hardness so hard that we can look unconcerned on eternal misery, nature's darkness, no light concerning the truth. yet there was a people. A people to be given unto the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. A people known unto God from the foundation of the earth unto the end of it. For whom Christ Jesus would come to bear the sins of that many. To fulfill a perfect sacrifice. The sacrifice under the law of the bulls and sheep and kids and goats. It was a sacrifice concerning the outward deed which the Jews attended to. They confessed their sin and they slayed the bullock, especially on the Day of Atonement. And the priest, the high priest, took that blood into the Holy of Holies for his own sin and sprinkled it upon the altar. And they put their hand upon the head of the second goat, which was not killed. The other one was a sacrifice for sin. And that was taken far away into the wilderness, the scapegoat. Typical of the putting away of sin from themselves, in spite of their iniquity. Their transgressions, they could now carry on pure, washed, under the implications of that law. They were clean in the flesh. But dear friends, there was nothing to cleanse the soul. The blood of Jesus Christ was the outpouring of his soul unto death, not just his sacred humanity. My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. That cry in the agony in the garden. Dear friends, that's where your and my sin is, isn't it? The sin of our soul. It's our soul, our spirit, that shall return to God who gave it. It's that shall be judged. We shan't be judged in the flesh. We shall be judged in the spirit. And Christ Jesus came to give himself a sacrifice for the sin of his people's soul. Him pure, holy, undefiled, perfect in all aspects of the law, perfect obedience, not only in the keeping of the law, but in the solemn judgment of the law, that has the sins of his people imputed to himself, standing in the sinner's room, place, and stead. So he suffered the sting of death. Made sin for his people. Oh, to say made sin for us. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. A perfect righteousness. Not one of the flesh, but one of the cleansed soul. He shall see of the travail of the soul of his son. Christ shall see of the travail of his own soul. The Father and the Son are one, and he shall be satisfied. He cried out on that sacred, solemn time of Calvary. It is finished. It is finished. Love's redeeming work is done. The price of sin has been paid. Oh, I have found a ransom. His people redeemed. not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. The work of perfection, the perfect sacrifice. But dear friends, we don't come tonight to look to a dead Christ, do we? Oh, that was the price that he had to pay. Jesus said in his ministry, when they spoke to him of Herod, was seeking to kill him, Jesus said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. The third day I shall be perfected. A glorious resurrection. Power over the power of sin. Power over the consequence of the grave. Power over Satan. The heel of the seed of the woman, bruised, but bruising the head of Satan. The destroying of his power. We read, don't we, in the first epistle of John, chapter 3, some amazing words. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. He was made man, he was manifested to take away our sins. Those words speak, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Dear friends, what power. We do sin. His people always sin. They sin down to their dying day in the flesh. In thoughts and words and deeds, you and I. But in the eyes of a holy God, the Father, looking upon the work of his Son, who was manifest to put away sin, take away our sins, he sees the travail of his soul, and that sin is blotted out as a thick cloud. Sins to be remembered no more. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. A perfect work for the cleansing of the soul and deliverance from the judgment of God in that last day. Dear friends, we are now lost, aren't we, in wonder, love and praise. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Dear friends, this perfection is through faith in the shed blood and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners, delivered for our offences, raised again for our justification. There's our perfect. We read, Abraham believed God, and he was counted unto him for righteousness. Dear friends, do you believe in this Son of God? I don't mean just believe through reading the Word of God that Jesus was the Son of God. Do you know him as the Son of God, the Saviour of sinners, truly and really in your heart? that knowledge begins through the knowledge of what you are yourself. Oh, dear friends, it's very precious when the Lord, in the power of His Spirit, convinces us of our sin, what we are before a holy God. It's a darkness that is known and felt. It grieves us. We mourn over it. We can do nothing to relieve ourselves of it. But the scripture says, to this man will I look, to this woman, this boy, this girl, whoever it is, will I look. Why? Because they're His work. He's drawing them with His everlasting love. He's calling them by His grace to have a need of a Saviour. To this man will I look, to him that is poor, poor in spirit, got no goodness of himself, got no ability to achieve unto eternal life, who is poor and of a contrite spirit. Oh, grieves over his sin, mourns of a broken and a contrite heart, and trembleth at my word. Oh, these judgments, these solemn judgments of God, for those who trust in themselves, who can only declare their own works. Oh, they will hear that solemn judgment, depart from me, for I never knew you. I never knew your sins laid upon me. Dear friends, to those that are so exercised under their sin, the Lord Jesus said, come unto me. Come unto me and be all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. A rest in His redeeming love. A resting in that perfect righteousness He hath wrought out. That blotting out of all your transgressions. That loving of you freely. I will give thee rest. Dear friends, that labouring and that burden is striving against sin, isn't it? And what a burden it is to you. Is there someone like that here tonight? Then may that word be applied in the power of the Spirit. Come unto me. Or as we read of it in Isaiah, come, let us reason together, saith your God. Your God, yes, calling by His grace. Calling you into the knowledge through the teaching of the Spirit of what you are in need of a Saviour. Come and reason. What reasoning can you give? Dear friend, you can only confess your sin, your unworthiness, and your need of the power of that sin-atoning blood to cleanse you from all sin. And the answer is, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A complete change. That's the new birth, isn't it? Ye must be born again. Born of the Spirit, born of God. All that change that comes. Dear friends, we are taken out of nature's darkness. That glorious light of the knowledge of the glory of God is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. There is our perfectness. There's our perfection. Be ye therefore perfect. A sinner, but saved by grace. That where sin has abounded, His grace doth much more abound. And oh, by faith, that blessed gift of God, you look unto Him. And through the gift of faith, the gift of God is all of Him, isn't it? you have these sweet views of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And you love him who has first loved you. Oh, what a precious gospel this is. We are hopeless case. But Christ, our glorious perfection, in which we are found accepted in him. Or is it Paul who says, is it to the Colossians, ye are complete in him. And that word complete is also translated perfected. Ye are complete in him. Completely saved. Completely prepared, completely loved for eternal life. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, dear friends, shall we sin that grace may abound? This grace, God forbid. Where we have been delivered from the power of sin, how can we anymore walk in it? It'll be a great grief to a true child of God. If we live in the Spirit, through the revelation of the Spirit, we're to walk in the Spirit. Well, that's Paul's words, isn't it, to the Galatians? If we live in the Spirit, we are to walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Why, that's a returning, isn't it, to that which we've been delivered from. We do not return to the power of the lusts of our flesh, and the pride of life, and all the manner of things which we perhaps once was engaged in. We shall be greatly tempted to do so, because our heart by nature is still deceitful and still desperately wicked. It's still desiring us to go our own way in the lust of the flesh, and self-will is still very strong. But dear friends, to a true child of God, this forces them to the throne of grace, ever pleading for the mercy, that mercy of God, that mercy that abideth forever, that endureth forever, and for his grace to help us in the time of our need. Seem to be our strength and our stay. Oh, that we may grow in grace, the knowledge of him. That we may walk in love as he hath loved us. And dear friends, in walking in love as he has loved us, to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, puts now this chapter 5 of Matthew in its proper context, doesn't it? It's not our earthly ability. It's not our earthly goodness which will take us to glory. We're not measured by how well we achieve these things. Therefore, we're measured by that sure foundation of the salvation of our souls, and that which is then manifest in us. To walk in love as Christ hath loved us. If we love him, to obey his commandments. Or the scripture says, he hath showed thee, O man, that which is good. What doth he require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So our prayer is, isn't it, Lord, let thy good Spirit rule my heart. Govern all my words and ways. A grace may abound in every part. Teach my tongue to sing thy praise. We read, don't we, at the end of this Sermon on the Mount concerning the sure foundation of a rock. upon which all one's hopes of eternal life are built. They that do these sayings of mine. Oh, dear friends, there's a responsibility, isn't there, to those for whom Christ died. There's this responsibility to walk in love and obedience to his word, to his command. We're not to turn about from it. Oh, how we need to pray, don't we, for wisdom to do his will, to know his will, and strength to do it. And when we come to that last great day, shall we be accepted because what we've done? No. We shall be accepted because of the love of Christ shed abroad in our heart and established us in the way of truth. Nothing to plead in that day save Jesus' blood and his righteousness. We have natural love, don't we, and affection one to another. Where there's natural love and affection one to another, we don't then go about to hurt and hinder and grieve those whom we love, do we? We seek to please them, to do that which is acceptable to them, to that which only will bind and bond that love greater between the two. So it is, dear friends, in the Spirit. Through the love of Christ for us. We are only to live in the Spirit, seeking to do that which is right in his sight, and to keep ourselves in that love through that help we need of the Spirit to do what is right in his sight. Oh, the Lord teaches his disciples to pray that thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So, dear friends, what do we conclude? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. True religion is faith, and the exercise of that faith in outward works. Works not for our soul's salvation, no, but the evidence of the working of his love within us. There's the evidence we're a true child of God. James is very bold. He says, faith without works is dead. And works without faith are dead also. I will show thee my faith by my works. That working of the Spirit, the outward manifesting of the love of Christ to you, all the mercy that you have found. Dear friends, that will constrain you to walk in love one to another as Christ has loved you. And in that judgment day, well, it's later on in Matthew, isn't it? There'll be a division between the sheep and the goats. The sheep, we read, come, thou blessed of the Father, enter thou into the joy of my Lord. For when I was hungry, thou fed me. When I was naked, thou clothed me, and so on. Were they judged by their works? No. They said, when did we do this? When did we see thee? Their only plea was what Christ had done for them, and they'd walked there manifesting that love in how they conducted themselves upon this earth. Faith and works. Oh, dear friends, this searches us out, doesn't it? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Keep me on that rock. Oh, may my experience be David. He delivered me from that pit of corruption, from the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Dear friends, that's the way of perfection, isn't it? Rooted in the love of Christ. Him, all our hope of eternal life. And as we go through this life, looking, trusting, praying that his will may be done. You say, oh, but I'm so weak. I'm so weak in times of trouble which come upon us. Yes, they do, don't they? For if we are the Lord's and we seek to walk out his way of truth, surely there'll be much that will rise against us and hinder us and tempt us, be the trial of our faith. But oh, the Spirit of Christ, if that is within us in exercise by faith, when he was reviled, he reviled not again, but committed it unto him that judgeth righteously. We thank the Lord for that throne of grace, the privilege of prayer, where we can humble ourselves under his mighty hand, that he may exalt us in due time, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for us. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, perfected through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, seeking to live to his honour and to his glory. Well, dear friends, let us suffer the word. I need it as much as anybody else. Be ye perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Barker will preach next Lord's Day in the evening, and Mr. Hadley again on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 1028. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest, and know that he's your conquering Lord. Hymn 1028.
O Lord, we ask thy blessing upon thy holy word of truth. Grant us each that blessing, for we are sinners. Oh, we pray, Lord, thou wilt reveal to us and impart within us that perfecting love of God through the gift of thine only begotten Son, who bore the sin of many. Lord, that we may be amongst those that are redeemed and have hope of eternal life, living in that hope to the honour and glory of thy name. So may thy Spirit rule within us, guide us in all our words and ways, and confirm that we are thine. Be with us as we separate. Lord, do not depart from us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us, now and even forevermore. Amen.